Have you ever been in a situation where, as much as you wish you were in control of things, it just, the situation, the circumstance was just outside of your control? Well, maybe you're in a situation like that now. And if you're anything like me, you hate being in those types of situations. You try, but you just, it's one of those things that's outside of your control. Maybe for some of you, you have a child that's turned away from the Lord, and it's breaking your heart. And you're seeing them make decisions that just are ungodly, and it just weighs on you. Or perhaps it's a person at work or a person at school that when you're there, they just make your time there like a living dread, let's say. But you're in no position to quit. And so you have to endure it. You have to deal with it. Or maybe recently you received news that you have a health issue that anything less than a miracle, it's just not going to be going away. Whatever the situation is, it's out of your control. Well, today I want to share with you, specifically from Paul's life, using and looking at Paul as an example, three things that you must do to make the situation manageable and even fruitful. You know, I believe that everything that we go through in life, God is fully aware of it. God is sovereign over it. And that it can be an opportunity to bring God glory through it. And today I've titled this morning's message, You Can't Do It Alone. You can't do it on your own. And in case you're in a situation like this, sometimes you need to rely on a good brother or a good sister in Christ to help. You know, we rely upon the Lord without question. If you're born again, if you're a believer, then you understand the importance of relying upon God. You trust Him. You read His Word. You pray. You seek Him. But God has also blessed us with another great resource, and that's each other. And sometimes we need each other. We can't do it on our own. We need each other's help. We're going to see this in Paul's example. And he did three things that helped him out when he was in a situation that was outside of his control. This morning I draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be finishing the book. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to start the Gospel of Matthew. And so, as it is our custom, we go through the books of the Bible, not in order, but we study a book, and we start in chapter 1, and we go through the book expositionally, primarily. And so, you can go ahead and get a head start. I know how much we all love homework, and so I would like for you at home to start reading the Gospel of Matthew. That way you're in tune as we're studying it together on Sunday mornings. And for homework, you could begin with chapter 1. No response. No, praise God, or yes, I'll do it. There we go. That's what a pastor wants to hear, that the congregation, we're all together in this. And I believe that we are. And so let's go ahead and look at Ephesians chapter 6. We'll read together verses 18 through 24. Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And Father, we come before you recognizing that you are our God. You are the one who created us. You love us. You are our Heavenly Father, and you show us your love in so many ways. And one way that you shown us your love was by sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And for that, Lord God, we are eternally grateful to you. God, I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts as we have come to hear from you. Lord, we're all so different. We're all going through different things. But yet, God, you could speak to each one of us right where we're at. And that's what we need. That's why we came here, to hear from you. Lord, we thank you for even just the simple reading of your word, how your word does minister to our hearts. And Lord, we do want your peace to govern our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have shown us and for the grace that you've bestowed upon us. And so, God, as we continue to study your word, I pray that you would deposit something in each one of us that's going to enrich us and help us in the circumstances of our lives, that in them we would bring you glory and be an instrument that you can use so that others may see you in us and desire you, Jesus, more than anything in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what was Paul's circumstance? Before we get into the three things that Paul did, what were the circumstances that he was dealing with? What was it that was outside of his control? We find that in the text. You see it in verse 20. He says, "For which I am an ambassador." He was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was an ambassador. He would be one who would go out, sent as a messenger to present a message that came from God, which was the message of the cross. And as Jesus called Paul to this work of ministry, Paul was faithful and Paul was dedicated to this work. And in his efforts to serve God, he ended up suffering and being incarcerated as a result of preaching the gospel. And he says it, "For which I am an ambassador in chains." And so we understand that Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. He wasn't in prison for doing anything wrong, but for simply doing the right thing. Isn't it tough when you're doing the right thing and you suffer as a result of doing the right thing? But for us to please God and to live lives that please God, and we suffer for it, that's commendable. And that brings honor to God. And you can glorify God in your circumstance, as Paul sought to glorify God in his chains. Now, it's a situation that doesn't appear that he was going to be coming out. And I believe that he realized that, at least at that time. At that time, it didn't appear that he was going to be coming out anytime soon. He knew he was going to be in chains for a season. It wasn't like when he landed a position in prison when he was in Philippi. You remember when he was in Philippi, he and Silas were praying. There was an earthquake. All the doors opened up. And long story short, he ended up, with the help of the jailer, he ended up getting out of prison in that situation. And people got saved, but he got out. It wasn't like Peter's time when, remember, Peter was in prison and an angel had to wake Peter up and say, come on. And he took him out of his situation. We don't see that that's going to be the situation. At least we don't see that that was the situation at the time when Paul was writing. He was in a situation that it doesn't seem like he was going to be getting out anytime soon. One of the things that the Spirit of God ministered to my heart as I was studying this was this little point. I hope that it helps some of you. Don't always ask to escape. Start asking to be enabled. You know, we don't hear Paul saying when he says, and pray for me that they get me out, that I get out of here. We didn't read that. And that's so often how we are, aren't we? Whenever we find ourselves in a situation that we've tried to manage it, we try to control it, but we can't control it, then it's like, God, get me out of it. Help me. Get me out. And that's not always the answer. Sometimes God wants us to be in those circumstances. Something I've been impressed with recently was this thought. You know, prior to this thought that I'm going to share with you, I would often think and say, and it's true, I'm not going to take away from the truth of what I'm about to share, but when you're going through circumstances and situations, we understand biblically that oftentimes those situations that are out of our control and are difficult and we don't want to be in them, God uses them to develop us. He uses them to refine us. He uses them to build character, godly character. Because it's sad, but it's so true that so often those are the times when we will listen to God most, where we'll seek God most, or we'll give an ear to what God has to say because we've tried everything else and we're so bummed out and discouraged. And so now let's try God. It's sad that we are like that so often, but that is the case with many of us, or with some of us, or with just me. But what if, and here's the thought that I've been impressed with lately, we say, well, God's using these things to help us and to develop us and to refine us and to mold us and us and us and us. What if we started to think more this way? Jesus purchased us with His blood. We no longer are our own. What if God, His desire, in addition to developing us, is to allow us to go through certain things for His purposes. Because He wants to do something, and it really, whether we suffer in the process or not, we understand that ultimately He is good and His character is perfect. But what if we started to look at things more like, Lord, whatever it is, whatever You want, whatever is Your objective in allowing me to be in this situation, whatever You want, I'm Your servant. I'm here to please You. So whatever You need to do, You use my... If this being in chains, being in the circumstance that's outside of my control, and there's nothing I can do it, if it's going to help fulfill whatever it is that You want, I'm okay with it, God. And so sometimes we have to say, Lord, don't take me out of it. but enable me that I may fulfill your will, your plan, your purpose in it. There are times that you want to get out of it. Sure, I understand. There are those times. I wouldn't say if you can't get out of it, don't. If you can get out of it, take that opportunity if that's what God's will is. But sometimes we waste too much time saying, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, I hate it, deliver me. We isolate and isolate. God, why? Deliver me. And we should start praying, God, enable me. Enable me. Enable me. Use me. And so the three things are this. Number one, call. Number two, connect. And number three, care. This is what we see in Paul's example. He was in a situation that was outside of his control. But what he did, number one, is he called on others to pray for him. He says in verse 19, and for me. He says, you know, pray always, pray for others, but pray for me and for me. And then he says that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here he's in a situation. He doesn't express he wants out. He doesn't express that he knows he's getting out anytime soon. But he's going to make the opportunity. He's going to take the opportunity of right where he's at to fulfill God's will. And so he calls out to others. And he says, hey, pray for me. Pray for me. And there's three things that he does when he asks for prayer, and I think it'll help us as well. Number one, he's very specific. You know, sometimes we're not that way. Hey, can you pray for me? What's going on in your life? Just pray for me. God knows. Okay. Paul, he doesn't say, just pray for me. God knows. Just pray, God. He prays very specifically, I'm asking for boldness. I'm asking for boldness that I may open my mouth, that utterance may be given to me in the situation that I'm in, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And then he says later on in verse 20, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why would he say that? Well, oftentimes, circumstances has a way of inflating us or disabling us. And maybe he was feeling the pressure. I'm out preaching the gospel. It's hard work. We're going from place to place to place, often relying upon other people as to where we're going to sleep and just taking meals as they come. It was hard work. And then he ends up in prison. These can be discouraging circumstances when you're doing what's right and then you end up suffering as a result, because that doesn't make sense to us. We think, generally speaking, I do good, good comes. That's generally how life is, right? You save money, you have more money down the road. You treat people nice, they treat you nice, generally speaking. And there's so many examples we could use. But when you do what's right and you suffer as a result of it, we have a hard time dealing with that. I did the right thing and then look it. Now I'm going through worse things. But for Christians, when those things happen, we have to embrace them. And that's what we see Paul does. He embraces the situation, but he says specifically, can you pray for me that I would be bold, that I would speak as I ought to? Because the pressures come. It's challenging. And doing this very thing got me into this situation. But I know the right thing to do, and I need to keep on doing the right thing. And so will you pray for me? And he was very specific. We also see the second thing is that in addition to being specific, he was very honest. He just shared honestly, hey, pray that I would be boldly and speak as I ought to speak. Imagine the Apostle Paul. So often we see him as an elite, but he had his struggles too. He had his times where, you know, the battle's raging, I'm sure, in his heart and in his mind, and it wasn't always easy. And he was honest. And he says, pray that I would be bold and speak as I'm supposed to, because I'm struggling with this. And then you see how open he is, which is the third thing. He was specific. He was honest. But he also was open. You know, so often we're too private. We don't want to let people see our vulnerabilities. We're afraid that if we're open and we're honest, then people think less of us. And that's just pride. Sometimes we need to be honest and we need to be open. We need to be vulnerable. And Paul was vulnerable. Look what he even says. We will make, in verse 21, it says, talking about Tychicus. He says, we'll make all things known to you. He was open. Here he sends Tychicus to let the saints know how things are going for him. And he says, we're going to make all things known to you. Open to you. Isn't it a blessing to be somewhat of an open book? Now, I know in some of your minds you're thinking, well, wait a minute, Pastor, that's too far. You got to be careful because there are people that you just can't trust, and some people stab you in the back. And to some degree, I understand, and that's true. But some of us go to the other extreme. Because of that, we go to this extreme where we're not open to anybody. Everybody's a potential threat. Watch out, watch out. Don't be vulnerable. They'll hurt you. They'll hurt you. You know, it's better to live and get hurt and experience love and experience those good relationships. Whether you might get hurt in the journey, it's better to at least have one or two good godly friends that you can connect with in the congregation or in the body of Christ. And get hurt in the process to find those one or two, or to live, or on the other hand, live like a person on an island, so isolated that you really have no one you feel that you can trust. That's a very lonely experience. And you see from Paul's life that he had a lot of people he was connected to, even though there was times where he would say things like, and everyone forsook me. All because he was experiencing a lot of persecution. They were experiencing a lot of persecution. And for some people, when the persecution came, when they were getting arrested, people would just run. And Paul was arrested, and he says to Timothy, everyone forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. There are some times that those times are even designed by God to just isolate you completely so he can stand by with you and remind you that when everyone else fails you, and everyone will, that you always have the Lord that you can count on. But that doesn't mean just lock everyone out. Paul was connected with a lot of people. And that's the second thing. You know, Paul, and this is not in an order. If anything, you were asked me to put these in order, I was just going in the order as I saw these things in the Scripture. I would say connect, call, and care. But we're going in the order that I found them in the Scriptures. And so we say call, ask people to pray for you, connect. Paul stayed connected. And look what he does. it says here, but that you, in verse 21, also may know my affairs, how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, etc. And so Paul, he was connected to Tychicus. He had a good brother in Tychicus. One that he can say, listen, I can't go myself, but you can go. I'm in chains, but you can go. And Tychicus, he was there to support Paul. He loved Paul. And he can entrust this to Tychicus, and Tychicus went. But let me tell you this, when we talk about calling on brothers and sisters and connecting with brothers and sisters and opening and sharing your heart with brothers and sisters, you do have to have some level of caution, as we mentioned already. And that's why I say it's good to be connected, but look at the kind of person you want to be connected with. Here Paul says, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. How do you know when someone's faithful? You see that in their life over time. And these are the kinds of people you want to be connected with when you're going through those circumstances and it's challenging and you know that there's no way out. Don't just open yourself up to anybody and everybody. Get connected with faithful and loyal brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, we're going to read an article in just a minute. And you don't have to have many friends. It's not the quantity, but the quality that makes a difference. And you want to be connected with quality people, especially when you're going through it. It's good to be connected with everyone, but if you're going to be open to people, you want to make sure that they're mature enough to take what you have to share, and they will really pray for you. It will be something that is not going to be spread throughout the whole community, that they're people that they can take what they hear and hold it in confidence. They can be trusted. Tychicus was this kind of man. But Paul gave him the okay to say, hey, go and share everything that's been going on. A report of how the ministry's been going. You know, I was reading an article from the Mayo Clinic talking about friendships. And the staff, they put this article together, and it's secular, but we're going to see how they've, and I believe that anything good, anything that people discover, it originates from the Lord. And you can find the same principles, generally speaking, in the Bible. If it's a good thing and it's sound, you find it already, it comes from the Lord. But friendships are really important, and sometimes we develop mentalities that you can't trust anybody, and you got to be careful because that's not healthy. You know, actually, friendships enrich your life and improve your health. This is what studies have found. And you might ask yourself, well, what are the benefits of friendships? Well, good friends are good for your health. And other articles that I read talk about how it improves even your longevity of life among older people who had good connections with friends and can share their lives. A higher percentage of them lived through that period of time where they were doing this study, where many who didn't have the friends and the connections died during that period of time. It also promotes brain health, having friends. Friends can help you celebrate good times and provide support during the bad times. Friends prevent loneliness and give you a chance to offer needed companion too. Friends increase your sense of belonging and purpose, boost your happiness, and reduce your stress. Improve your self-worth value. help you cope with traumas such as serious illnesses, job loss, or the death of a loved one. Encourage you to change or to avoid unhealthy lifestyles, unhealthy habits like smoking or lack of exercise. But why is it hard for us to keep friends sometimes? The article goes on and it says, because developing and maintaining friendships take effort. And when we're starting out in this journey of family, sometimes the family, the children, the workforce, the career, all of these things take precedence and we start losing connections with others outside of our family and work. And friendships, they require work. They do. And sometimes we just say, you know, it's not worth it. And some relationships, it's true, it's not worth it. Some people that every time you're around them, you're a worse person than you are without them in your life. What you could start singing to them is, hit the road, Jack. Don't come around no more. No, I'm sorry. But there are some relationships you have to cut out of your life because they're not faithful to the Lord. They don't desire the things of God. And by you staying connected with them, they're just going to bring you down. God actually says, come out from among them. Leave those kinds of relationships that prove they don't want nothing to do with me and they're not helping you in your walk. They're going to just take away. But the enjoyment and the comfort friendships can provide makes the investment worthwhile when it comes to maintaining good friendships. And as I said, that quality counts more than quantity when it comes to a number. It's better to have one or two good friends that you can trust than to have tons of acquaintances. And what are some ways to meet new people? Attend community events. After the message today, in about 3 hours, I'm going to share all of the different events that are taking place here. If you're here for the first time, it's not 3 hours. We're almost wrapping it up. Some laugh because they know that's not true either. Volunteer. Extend invitations and accept invitations. Invite people to your house or invite people to do something together. And when they invite you, don't turn them down. You can't be out and out and out all the time. I understand that we have responsibilities, but don't just close yourself off. Take up new interests. You know, the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 18, 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So how can a person nurture friendships? Well, the way that you nurture friendships, according to this article, is you have to accept others for who they are, not what you wish they would be. Everybody's not going to meet your little cookie cutter box of how people ought to be. And sometimes we're so quick to judge each other. And in our minds, we're struggling. Well, he shouldn't have said that. She shouldn't have done that. I wouldn't do it that way. If they're real Christians, they wouldn't. But we're like Pharisees. We're extremes. We got to be careful. Let me ask you, do you meet up to all your standards of yourself? All the standards that you have of yourself, have you met them 100%, 100% of the times? If you say yes, you let yourself down. You don't meet up to all your standards. So how can you expect somebody else to meet up to the standards you put on them? Now, if something's wrong, you must judge something that's wrong. And if it's unbiblical and ungodly, then you must deal with it. But oftentimes the things that we judge, it's just people being themselves. They're not doing anything wrong. And so you got to accept others. And then another thing is be positive. You can't always be an Eeyore, because you're going to wonder why nobody wants to hang out with you. Or a pig pen. You know, you got to be positive. You got to be presentable. You got to be a person that you would want to hang out with. Don't compete. Sometimes you get connected with people and it's just, who's got the nicer house, the nicer car, the nicer dog? My Christmas gifts are better than your Christmas gifts. My Thanksgiving was better. What'd you do for Thanksgiving? Oh, just me and a couple people came over. Well, I had my whole entourage of all my friends come over. People flew in from Hollywood. People flew in. Don't want to hang out with you. Don't compete. Maybe that's not a big deal, but this is what the article is saying. Listen up. I can't stand conversation dominators. All you get, this is my example of a conversation dominator. This is all you get to say. Hey, how are you? And the next half an hour, you're sitting there listening. It's one-sided. Listen. Let the conversation be mutual. Don't always feel you have to teach everybody. Or share with everybody how much you know. Remember, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And listen. Respect boundaries. Don't text them at 3 a.m. and say, praying for you. Because when they get that text, they're going to be like, oh, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be cursing you right now. Don't keep going over people's houses uninvited. Hey, God says you got to love your family in Christ. Yeah, but I haven't even taken a shower or brushed my teeth yet. Maybe that's a good time. Hey, how are you, brother? Breathe on him. I'm being silly, but respect boundaries. Why do I bring these things up and why would I use an article? Well, maybe not all of these things apply, but many of them do, and what I love is how God has provided within His house a place where all of these things can take place. We have events. There's opportunities to volunteer. There's opportunities to start something new. Maybe there's a new event that we'll be doing, and you've never volunteered before, or you've never done something with the children's church, or you've never taught. God provides within His house opportunities for us to connect. And we miss out when we don't take them. You know, to me, it's so much more valuable if I'm going to spend my time doing something. It's so much more valuable to do something that has eternal value. Now, I'm not downing sports. I'm not downing community, secular activities. But to me, I think to myself, well, there's all these things have their place, but if I'm going to do something as a family, I want to do something that's really going to have eternal value. And as a family, I might as well get involved in my local congregation and get connected with people. Because I know that in these things, if we're doing it with the right heart, we can store our treasures in heaven. And it can be a benefit to other people that start coming to the church and need us, We need each other. We can't do this on our own. Now listen to this. Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, says, in regards to friendships, a friend loves at all times. And this is how you can start to hone in on what's a real good friend and choosing your friends, even within the community of faith. I mean, who is going to be someone you fellowship with and you talk to and, hey, how's it going? And who is someone that you're going to really connect with where you can share what's going on in your life and open up your heart if you're in one of those situations that it's completely out of your control? Proverbs 19, verse 6 says this, Many entreat the favor of nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Now, don't think in your mind that I'm saying that if you want friends, you got to pay them. Give them $20 to be your friend for the weekend. Nobody's going to do it for 20. Not in this day and age. But a generous spirit, a person who's friendly, a person who's generous, not a person who's greedy and always out looking for themselves, but someone who's open-handed and generous. Not necessarily giving money away, but a generous spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Here's another aspect of friendship. It says, faithful are wounds of a friend. Faithful are wounds of a friend. Sometimes a good friend will tell you what you don't want to hear. And it may hurt, but you know where it's coming from. It's coming from a friend that really loves you and is looking out for you. So don't despise those times where someone might say something that'll cut you to the heart and they're a friend of yours because they love you. Don't get angry. Don't let your pride get the best of you and start withdrawing. On the contrary, take it and ask the Lord, Lord, is this something that comes from you? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 9 says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty or sincere counsel. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14 says, he who blesses his friends with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Talking about boundaries, don't cross boundaries with friends. Friends are something to cherish and invest, but never to take for granted and start crossing boundaries. These are all different aspects of good friendships. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Holman, he says this, and I quote, when two pieces of iron are rubbed together, one shapes and sharpens the other. In the same way, interaction between people keep us sharp. This principle operates in almost every area of life, business, intellectual, physical, and spiritual. In fact, the Hebrew literally says that one man's sharpens the face of another. The benefit can even show up in their appearance. In other words, when you have a good interaction with someone, you could see how it begins to affect the person's countenance and appearance and attitude and spirit. How many times were you down and you went and talked to somebody and you were engaged in a conversation and you started to feel like they were just impacting you and a good friend started to impact you in such a way that it cheered you up? It just changed your whole outlook. You were looking at something a certain way, and it just gave you a perspective. They gave you a perspective. You weren't looking in that way, and it just blessed you abundantly. You know, yes, I spend a lot of time on this topic of friendship, but I do see that Paul, he called on people, but he stayed connected, and it's so important to stay connected. It's even secular studies prove that it's for your health. It helps you to stay connected, to stay connected. And God has provided His church a place where there is a community of good, godly people that you can be connected with and develop lifelong friends. And then lastly, in addition to call, connect, care is the third one. You know, be sensitive to show that you care for others. See, Paul, he was going through some situations that were tough, but it wasn't all about him. He didn't say, pray for me, oh, this is horrible, pray for me, it's all about me, pray for me. No, he also cared for how they were doing. And sometimes when we're going through it, we got to get out of ourselves, ask people for help, stay connected with people, and then go to the next step and find ways, be sensitive to show how you do care for what other people are going through too. You know, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Listen to this. Look at verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 6, how Paul says, "But that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you." Verse 22, "I have sent him to you, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your hearts." Who's he thinking about? He's thinking about them. And so here are just a few ways to show that you care. Number one, show that you care. Don't just say that you care. Do it, don't just say it. So often, "Hey, I love you, brother. We got to get together sometime," and never follow through. Look what he says. He didn't just say, I care about you. Pray for me. Pray for me. I care about you. Thanks. He wanted them to know what was he was going through. And so here he sends Tychicus. I mean, he couldn't do it himself. But he made arrangements, and he says, "I have sent to you. I have sent him to you for this purpose." He actually did something beyond just words. Do what you can to show you care, and don't, this is the second thing, allow circumstance to make you think you can't do anything. So do something, do it, don't just say it. Two, don't allow your circumstance to get you to think that you can't do anything. "Oh, I can't do this because I'm in chains. I can't reach out to others because I'm in chains. I can't stay connected because I'm in chains. Oh, I can't do nothing." And maybe ideally Paul would have felt like, "Man, I would like to go myself and talk to them, but I can't. But what can I do?" Well, Tychicus, I want you to go. Will you go? Let them know how things are going, because I care. I want them to know how things are going with us. So you might not be able to do what you wish you could do, but if there's something you can do to show you care, do that. Doesn't have to be anything great. It could be little things, little gestures show that you care. This morning I was running a little late. I didn't have time to eat before I came to drop off the bulletins. And so Nina says, "Why don't you take something with you?" I didn't have time, jumped in the car, dropped off the bulletins, then went back home to finish getting ready. And when I got home, she made me a breakfast sandwich. She didn't have to do that. I wasn't expecting it. But that's a small way that she showed that she cared about me. She cared about my circumstance. Meanwhile, she was cooking and doing something for later on today. But she stopped what she was doing. That shows me that she cares. Something so small. And there are things that you can do in your circumstance. Maybe if you were out of your circumstance, you could do so much more. But in the circumstance you're in, you can only do this. But do it, because that'll show that you care to someone else. And then lastly, you know, sometimes when we're in circumstances, we try to think how we can get out of the feelings and how we can get out of the circumstances we're in. So we do things for others, but it's really for us. You ever do anything like that? Of course you have. You do things for someone else, but it's really to make you feel better. Don't do things that way, because in the end, you're not going to feel better. You know, show you care to benefit others, not yourself. And that's what Paul did. In addition to sending Tychicus, he did something. He didn't just say, "Oh, I care about you," but didn't do anything. He went beyond that, and he sent Tychicus so that they would know how they're doing and make sure that they were feeling blessed. But look what he says in verse 22. He says that Tychicus may comfort your hearts. It was to benefit them, to bless them. And then look what he says, "Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. I mean, what a blessing. Here, Paul's in a circumstance that's outside of his control, but he's not going to let the circumstance control him and dictate how he's going to feel and what he's going to do. No, he's going to stay on task. He stayed on task. He accomplished the work that God entrusted to him. He connected. He reached out to others. You might be in a similar situation. You're not in prison. You're not in that kind of situation, but you're in a situation that's outside of your control. And there's a part of you that just maybe is tempted to quit, to throw in the towel. Don't do that. What you need to do is you need to learn how to manage this in such a way that you're still able to accomplish what God's called you to do and what God's purpose is while you're there. Reach out to others. Stay connected. So important. Stay connected. And invest in others as best as you can. Don't be disabled. Don't let it disable you. And then you'll be fruitful. And Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your word that helps us to manage life and life circumstances. And Lord, that's what our heart's desire is. Our heart's desire is that no matter what situation we're in, we want to be operable, working and serving you. We don't want to be down and out and discouraged. Lord, some of the situations that you allow us to go through, they're not going to change. And that's a part of your plan. And you know this, and so God, I thank you for your word that reminds us of the importance of reaching out to others. We can't do it on our own. Help us, God. Help us to accomplish your plan and your purpose right where we're at as we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.